Evening, everyone. This is the Planning and Community Development Committee. My name is Cynthia Del Shrimos Johnson. I'm the chair of this committee, and I'm here with my colleagues, Councilmember Kathy Hogarty and Councilmember Deshaun Quinn. Let's go ahead and jump into the agenda for tonight. The first item is two applications for lodging tax funds, and Brandon is here to lead that discussion up.
Good evening, committee members. Brandon Miles, business relations manager and the lodging tax staff person. Before the committee tonight are two lodging tax applications that have been forwarded to the committee from the LTAC. One is for $10,000 to support the city's Juneteenth event, which is tentatively scheduled for June 18th. This application is submitted by Administrative Services, who is taking the lead on the application. The city sponsored a virtual event last year when we were still virtual due to COVID. This will be an in-person event that's being tentatively planned for, as I said, June 18th. So the request is for $10,000, and that will help cover some of our costs. We're going to use some of our virtual events last year to help market the event. So more to come on the specifics of the event. We just want to get the application approved today. And then the second application is for $5,000 to sponsor the Fiesta 5K Olé. This is an existing event that was in Seattle. It's been pushed out mainly because of COVID and because of some staffing issues that the city of Seattle is having. And so the event organizers came to us and asked if we might be interested in bringing this to Tukwila. I think it's a great event. It's not something that we've tried to build events, which is something that I think we can do, but also going after events that are established and that need homes is something that I really think we can really promote ourselves for. So this event is still tentative, but I just wanted to be prepared in case we have an opportunity to land it. We're requesting that both applications go to the next regular council meeting and be put under the consent agenda, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Hogarty, do you have any questions for Brandon?
No questions. I looked at the website for, is it Fiesta Olé? I had a question regarding when they were planning on doing this event.
So they have historically done the event in the first or second week of May. They may push it because we're still kind of late in the planning stages. But we're still waiting on their confirmation for the event. And if the event doesn't go forward, then the funds just don't get used.
Right. And I think that's good. And I think moving forward, like in the future, if it's not this year, because what I read is they'd like to create to have it around Cinco de Mayo. So if we miss this year, are we interested in saying, hey, next year we can do this? So did you have that kind of conversation with them?
Yes, and the individual that does this event is also the one who helped the Sounders with the 5K. It's what this organization does. They do events, races. They helped us with the original Rock and Roll Marathon. So it's a great relationship to have to look at other races that we can bring to Tukwila.
All right. I'm in favor of both.
I don't have any questions. I'm comfortable moving this forward.
Okay. I also don't have any questions, and I am comfortable moving it forward. I did just notice one typo in the memo on the first page. Hold on. No, it's not on the first page. On the second page for the Fiesta one, it says 4,000 in parentheses, but I know you meant 5. So just so I don't know if I think it matters to change that just before it goes into the consent packet, but I'm comfortable with that. So I just saw the typo.
Thank you. I can make that change before the next before it goes to consent.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is an ordinance extending the vintage at Tukwila rezone. And Max is here to speak to us about that. Hi, Max.
Hi, everyone.
I know. I am like, where am I waiting?
It's especially weird seeing it twice on my screen right next to each other.
That's odd. Anyway, yeah.
this is a relatively straightforward item. We brought this a couple months ago about extending a ordinance for a rezone that expired just this past year. The request is to extend the expiration of the rezone to be 36 months from when the rezone was set to expire originally. So the rezone ordinance originally had a 36-month sunsetting clause in there that it needed to have a development permit in before the 36 months passed. And as the applicant mentioned at that previous PCD meeting, a number of factors, especially related to the pandemic, the way that submission of a development permit. So essentially looking to start the clock again at 36 months, but retrodated to the original expiration in 2021. That would make the effective date, let me pull that up real quick. The effective date would be looking for an expiration of June 26, 2024, since it expired June 26, 2021. So 3 years from that date. The action that we're looking for is to forward this to the committee of the whole next week and then have that go to regular, hopefully after that.
Kathy, do you have any questions?
No, we talked about this before, and we went over some of the pictures, and that seems really reasonable to me, considering we've gone through a pandemic, and there's some big changes here, and neighbors and everything, and that's 2 years, so I think that is going to be good, and I'm in favor of it.
Yeah, I'm in favor of it. We did have a detailed discussion, so nothing in here surprised me. It's kind of consistent. It's nice when you get something twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I also didn't have any questions. This sounds good to me. We're all okay with forwarding it to the committee as a whole, and then the regular meeting after that. Well, committee as a whole will determine that. So
yeah,
we'll see you there.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item is an update on Tukwila Village Community Development Association, and Derek. Hi, Derek.
Hi there, Chair. How are you? Hi,
good.
Everybody. So what this item is when Brandon and I were presenting to this committee in January our work plan for this year, there was an item on the work plan under the Tukwila Village category called Position Tukwila Village Community Development Association for Self-Sufficiency. And I think the committee had asked for that to come back because I think the committee in case the committee had questions or wanted to discuss that some more. And so that's why this item came back to you. And so on page 51 of your packet is a very short staff report. And I attached an older report there that had some more background information about the TVCDA. And I'm really happy to answer any questions about TVCDA and what's going on with it or Tukwila Village that the committee has. And with that, I'll just see if you have any questions.
Councilmember Colberty?
Yeah, can you just say a little bit more about positioning for sufficiency, self-sufficiency. I knew I was, self-sufficiency. Can you say a little bit more about what that means?
What it really means is I've been serving as the staff to that organization. Because, you know, the city and the developer jointly had that agreement in 2012 where we were creating that nonprofit. But the vision was never for the city to be staffing that organization on an ongoing basis. And so what we're really saying with that phrase, position it for self-sufficiency, is basically trying to get me out of having to provide staffing service to it, because it does take some time. And because it's not what our original goal was, it's hard for me to give it the amount of time it really needs and deserves. So that's really what the purpose of that is.
So I have a follow-up question. So what would be the substitute for use or a Tukwila staff member staffing this? What would be the alternative?
The first big step is just getting an organization to be the venue manager. So a lot of the work that we keep going around and around on is trying to find some organization to be the venue manager. Meaning to handle the rentals of the Sullivan Center. We've tried different things. The board has tried different things over the last few years. At this stage, it looks like the most likely scenario is that Brian Park's company called Independent Living, which does a lot of apartment management and is one of the apartment manager organizations for Tukwila Village and other properties. He submitted a proposal the board likes, and so we're working on that. And so if his company if the board approves it, and also the board would, they have to approve a lease. They have to sign onto this 40-year lease where the board has the nonprofit has the lease of the Sullivan Center for 40 years, and then they would contract with Independent Living to do property management, which is the rentals. Getting those two contracts in place would free up a ton of my time. And ideally, then, the next step would be, I would just love to see us find a part-time staff person for TVCDA. I've talked to different people in the community about that over the years. Nothing has quite stuck, but I'm hopeful that we will find somebody that would like to do maybe, 16 hours a month, a couple days a month. At this stage, that's really all that that organization really needs. But yeah, so those are really what that means, those next two steps. A, get those two contracts executed so that somebody's handling rentals and that facility's open and actually being used. And the second step is trying to find a part-time staff person.
How would that be funded?
So part of our deal was, in the very beginning, the city required the developer to put $50,000 in, contribute that to the nonprofit to get it up and running. So we have that money in an account that's down to about $45,000 now, because each year the board spends about $1,000 a year for directors and officers liability insurance. So right now the board's got about $45,000. So they could use that to start hiring somebody. And a couple years ago we did hire a part-time person for a few hours a month. But then that he got a job elsewhere, so he moved on. In addition to that $45,000, the other idea is that the rental revenue should be coming in enough to cover the expenses of the operations plus some. And so in theory, the original idea was that the rental revenue would have enough revenue coming in to pay for the staffing to keep the whole organization running. Now, we won't know for sure until we really see the proof is in the pudding. But I think eventually, I think that will be very sustainable. The question is like in the first year, but I think that $45,000 would be far more than we would need for a part-time person for the first year, because we don't really need a lot of hours each month.
Right. Thank you.
We also, if we had a few more board members, it would help, because I think if we could spread the load, a lot of times these organizations that start out, the board members themselves have a lot of time and passion, and if we had a couple more people on the board with a little bit more time, I think that would also help.
Thank you. I'm in support of the, this is just an update.
Just a discussion.
It's a discussion, but I'm in support of your efforts. Let's just say that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of work, and I know it's not something that's on a lot of people's radar, but I really think this is an immense opportunity for the city. A lot of communities that have economically distressed neighborhoods, they will form what's called a community development association, and that's what this is. So if you go to White Center, the White Center Community Development Association is very well known, very respected for the work that they do, and they can be very flexible about how do they focus their work to help improve the neighborhood, the community. And so this is a nonprofit that's mission is really to help improve the lives of Tukwila's residents. And so yes, it's a lot of work getting it up and running, but I think once it's up and running, it has a lot of opportunity to fill in any gaps that aren't already being covered by other nonprofits and government and other agencies.
So I would just build off of what Kathy said. I think, you know, the questions she asked made sense, and the goal was to have it be self-sufficient with a board. And I think things will be better for the for kind of that process the sooner we get somebody in, or the sooner that Brian gets some folks in, because then, I mean, you really never know the potential of the need, the opportunity that's presented in that space and what that space could be. But if you're relying on our staff, that means that's not a priority, right? Once you get the nonprofit status and you could use it, you start coming up with more ideas. So,
I would
really like to see that transition. And so, you know, like the White Center CDA, I mean, is a great example of what they've done for that community, and like Sheely and her work. I think it would also help for residents. And then the fees, right? It is the revenue. If it's going where it needs, where it's supposed to, it's more than enough to pay for that. And I mean, for me, it would behoove folks at Tukwila Village to make sure that they are represented in the kind of events that come there. And part of that is to kind of do the legwork to kind of help programming. And then there's a community aspect, and there's some pretty active folks that live in Tukwila Village that maybe they want to take on something, a senator or something. I just think the goal is to make it kind of a self-sustaining kind of community space. So the more we assist, it's good for us, but it's less good for them to really realize that experience, the need, the process pieces. And if they had somebody, then potentially we could, because we would have a stake too. I mean, we could have a stake in having someone here that's part-time to help with the process as well. So that would be a great kind of community city staff thing that they could do if they have the skill set, right? And then that can kind of be in line with kind of giving back to the community that they work in.
Absolutely. It's a phenomenal opportunity. And 5 years from now, people will look back and be really happy with what's happening in 5 years. We have a couple more bumps to get through the next 2 years probably. But I think long-term people are going to really see this as a hub and for the community, and it'll be a hub hopefully run by the community, you know. So, original vision.
So the Independent Living Associates, you said, is it Brian Park's organization? Like, I guess my concern is if it's solely run by Shag, like, is it truly, what are the checks and balances of this organization being maintained as a shared space for us? Like, I guess that's my concern, if you could speak to that.
Yeah, great question. I'm happy to speak to that. So back in 2011 and 2012, when we were all negotiating this and going through the council process, the city made a decision for this to not be a city facility. So the council back then was very clear, we're selling the property. This is not going to be city owned. It's not going to be city run. But we wanted to make sure there was community access. And so the concept we put together is where the developer and the city would create a nonprofit, jointly create a nonprofit. So it'll have a nonprofit board. And we jointly agreed on the mission. So we have a legally adopted mission statement, legally adopted bylaws. And so the first thing is about ensuring community access is there's the mission statement and the formation documents that we submitted to the state. The second thing about it is the way the board gets formed and is managed. And so the city gets to always appoint one director to the board. And the Brian, as the property owner representative, because the property owner is such a key issue here with this development too, he gets to appoint one person to the board. So he's his person to the board and the mayor is our person to the board. Now, if the council wanted to appoint somebody, the council could do that. The mayor would be fine with the council doing that. And so then it's really up to the rest of the board members in terms of then making sure that there's community access to the facility. And so it's really now about the board setting the policies and the vision. So the board has drafted a rental rates and policies document. So even though it would be Brian's company, Independent Living, doing the rentals management, they have to do that according to a contract that we are negotiating right now. It's calling it a property management agreement. And the board will approve that contract. Also, as part of that contract, an attachment is the rental rates and policy. So the board is basically saying to Brian's company, here's the rental rates and policy that you have to follow when handling the rentals of the site. And so in there, it sets the board talked through this over the last few years. So there's a lower rate for nonprofit organizations to use the facility than for for-profit organizations. And then the other thing is the board has been able to reserve a certain number of hours that it can program the facility at no charge. And it could assign those hours to somebody else. Now we're still negotiating how many hours per month that is. So those are really the two ways. And Brian's company, the contract for his company, Independent Living, to do the venue management, right now it's being proposed as a 3-year contract. So if it turns out after 3 years, the board thinks, well, we're still not really meeting the community intent of this, and we think we could do more community access while still getting enough revenue to keep the whole thing functioning, then the board could renegotiate a different agreement with Brian's company or whoever. They would not have to stick with Brian's company. If there was somebody else out there that we thought would do a better job, we could always, after 3 years, change.
Okay. Thanks. That was really helpful. So now I thank you for giving me that background, because now I really understand sort of what the checks and balances, I guess, in place, and why you suggested that it's important that we look for and help recruit people to the board and raise awareness of the Tukwila Village CDA.
100%, yes, because in the end, we want that board to represent the community, to have the vision, to have the passion, to make sure that it's doing the policies and the work that works for everybody. That's exactly it. And when we first formed the board, we really tried to get people on there that had a specific reason as to why they would be a good addition to the board. And I think we have some great people on the board, but we still need to grow it. We need to have more people on that board.
Yeah. Thank you. And this is just discussion. So there's no, you were giving an update.
Yeah. Yep. Just anything, any questions you have. And I'm excited to give the update because for this to be successful, we need everybody, especially the council, to really understand the opportunity that's here. And so I'm happy that you're interested.
Yeah. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate that. And does anyone have any additional questions? Mm-hmm. Does anyone have miscellaneous? I think that's the end of the agenda, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if nobody has anything additional, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.